Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, happy Monday, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. History is going to record COVID-19 as the greatest mass murder conspiracy plot in the 6,000 years of our human existence, and not for the amount of people killed, because that number is less than 4 million dead. Hitler killed 12 million people, and his Second World War killed 55 million people. No, COVID-19 will be the greatest mass murder plot in human history because it was released on the entire world, something unique in the annals of historical fact. But guess what? All that death and destruction was not about killing you with a man-made virus, no. It was about getting you injected with a life-altering experimental vaccine. Habakkuk 1:5 says, "Behold ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you." On this episode of the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast, we have the latest updates on the crimes and misdemeanors of mass murderer Anthony Fauci, but he is only the visible pimple that you can see. The real pus and infection lurks below the surface, and today we're going to pop that pimple that is Anthony Fauci. We're going to squeeze it, and we're going to show you the demonic mess that lies beneath. While Anthony Fauci was ordering gain-of-function development on the COVID-19 virus the CDC owned the patent on, Bill Gates was conspiring with big tech and big pharma companies, creating the vaccine that Fauci's virus would make you take. See how diabolical this all is? The sad part is that what has been set in motion cannot be undone, and it will not be undone, and it will usher in the next phase of the Mark of the Beast world system. This is why they are right now throwing Fauci and Gates to the wolves. They have accomplished the tasks that they were charged with carrying out. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all these that you've gathered here today. And Father God, we ask you to, as we open up your word, as we look at the scripture of truth, and then we look out the window to see the events that are taking place all around us, please continue to give us wisdom and discernment and open our eyes to the truth of what's happening, Lord. That we may go through this time, Lord, walking in your provision and your protection and your guidance. And Father God, we pray that there's many lost who will listen to this program. They'll tune in because of the subject matter, and that's an exciting thing to talk about. But Lord, we pray that when they get here, that their hearts would be open to receive you as Savior, because that is the most exciting news of all time, that Jesus saves. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Father God, we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, welcome, everybody. Today we are going to continue what we talked about on Friday, and we have some great clips to play for you. But the main thing that we're going to talk about today is the fact that Anthony Fauci, on one side of the fence, he was ordering gain-of-function development on the COVID-19 virus. And on the other side of the fence, Bill Gates was conspiring with big tech and big pharma companies, creating the vaccine that Fauci's virus would make you take. Do you see how they were working together on both sides? This vaccine was not created to protect you against the virus. Now, the virus is a real thing. It was created in the Wuhan laboratories, and it was released upon first the Chinese people, then it spread all the way around the world. But the vaccine was not created to keep you safe from the virus. The virus was created to make you take the vaccine. And that is a very important distinction, And we're going to spend a little bit of time on that this morning. This afternoon. But the main thing that you have to understand is that the COVID-19 virus, a real virus that had gain-of-function research performed on it, and then it was turned into this virus that was many, many times more lethal and more deadly than it was in its original form. And so far, around the world in the last 15 months, 3.7 million people have died from exposure to COVID-19. Again, COVID-19 is not a hoax. It's not a scam. It is a real virus. But you have to understand that it was bioengineered to take it to a level that it would not normally exist at. So in effect, the COVID-19 virus that went around the world, and I got it last year, my son-in-law got it last year, my son got it, I know people who died from it. COVID-19 is a real thing, but it was chemically altered. It was biohacked to turn it into something that it was never originally made up of. And so here we're living in a time period where this vaccine was, it was jacked up, it was juiced up, and then it was released upon the world, and now they're going to swoop in and they're going to save everybody with this vaccine that they just happened to be working on prior to the outbreak of the virus. Now, this whole thing, everything that you're hearing from the mainstream media is a lie. And we've told you that over a year ago. Early last year, we told you about what Bill Gates was doing in Event 201, and they handed out coronavirus COVID-19 stuffed animal plushie toys and all these different things. We told you about that well over a year ago. But where has all this led us? It has led us to the point where the vaccine was released, the virus was released, to get you to take the vaccine. And it all started back in something called Event 201. And things have gone for the New World Order. They have gone beautifully. They have gone exactly according to plan. And this is where we are. So let's take a listen to this clip. I want to get you guys up to speed with the latest thing that Rand Paul has to say. And he's been saying some really, really good stuff lately. But even Rand Paul does not have the entire story. I don't think Rand Paul is capable of making the true connections of what's behind all of this. I think his father, Ron Paul, if he was still active, this is something that would really be right up his alley. I don't think Rand Paul is going to be able to make the connections all the way to the end, but he is absolutely, in terms of people in the mainstream media, he is absolutely leading the charge of what, as close to the truth as he is able to get. So let's take a listen to Rand Paul talking with Sean Hannity about Dr. Fauci after the emails were released. Take a listen.
The man himself is also a medical doctor, Kentucky Senator Rand Paul. You've been right about this guy from the beginning. I'll be honest. I tried to give him the benefit of the doubt. There were a lot of things, a lot of people got wrong in the beginning. I never thought it was nefarious. But we now know on January 31st that Dr. Fauci was told it looks like gain of function manipulation of this virus, the genome of this virus. He was told that. That happens to be also the day that Donald Trump put in place the travel ban that's xenophobic and hysteria. And 10 days after the first identified case in this country. So you've been right the whole time, Senator, and unfortunately, you've been right.
You know, there's been no more prominent scientist in favor of gain-of-function research than Dr. Fauci. He still hasn't backed off of that position. He believes that it's okay to take animal viruses, make them into super viruses to infect humans, even if a pandemic should occur. He says, oh, the research is worth it. But, you know, there's a host of other scientists in this field, and they say it's not worth it at all, that we haven't learned anything. All we've done is put ourselves at risk. But even after all of this evidence points towards the Wuhan lab, this last week in committee, Dr. Fauci said that he still trusts the Chinese scientists. And the thing is that's a very naive notion. That's how we got here. But there are worse viruses. This is a bad one. This has about a 1% mortality. 3.5 million people have died. But they've been experimenting with some viruses that have 15% mortality. That would mean 50 million deaths right now. So this kind of research needs not to be funded by the U.S. taxpayer. And so I had an amendment this week that passed. Actually, you know.
So do you hear what Rand Paul is saying? Rand Paul is saying that right now, over in the Wuhan lab in China, they are working on viruses that have a 15% mortality rate. That is a virus that would kill 15 times the amount of people that COVID-19 has killed. So if you're listening to this program for the first time or you're new here, I want you to understand that the things that we're talking about today may sound absolutely unbelievably incredible, but this is what Rand Paul is saying. Rand Paul has exposed gain-of-function research that the United States under Anthony Fauci has been paying for, and not only did they perform gain-of-function research on the COVID virus, and then it was released around the world, now they're working on viruses that are 15 times more deadly than COVID-19. That's what Rand Paul just said to Sean Hannity. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when they unleash the next one, or the third one, or the fourth one, or the fifth one? You think this stuff is going to go away? You think this stuff is going to stop? It's not. It's absolutely not.
Unanimously saying no more funds for this Wuhan lab. So we'll see what Dr. Fauci has to say, but he doesn't really have the judgment to be in the position he's in.
Senator, I hear the money that he is saying, it was far much more in terms of the actual dollar amount. Do we have any idea how much money, American taxpayer money, went to fund this Wuhan virology lab and their gain of research function work?
There's a lot of pools of money. There's a group called Eco Health Alliance, this Peter Zonk. He's got $100 million over the last several years. Now, not all of it's gone to Wuhan, but they say as much as 3 to 4 million may have. But there's lots of pots of money. There's defense money, there's secret money, there's money we don't even know about because it's classified. But this research is being done in the United States as well. It's very, very dangerous, and I want scientists that are not partisan to come to Washington. So I sent a letter today to the head of my committee in Homeland Security and also the Health Committee to say we need to have a hearing with impartial scientists who are on the other side of Dr. Fauci, who believe that it's incredibly dangerous. But you know what the other danger is? I've had 5 death threats just for being outspoken on it. This week I've had 5 death threats. I don't know what the world's coming to. You can't ask honest, difficult questions that in the end have turned and proved out that Dr. Fauci was not being honest with us. But as a repercussion, my family had white powder sent to our house and 5 death threats phoned in.
So there you have Rand Paul, and he's getting death threats. He said that last week he received 5 death threats, and including a package with suspicious white powder. And of course, we understand that that is meant to make you think that they're sending you anthrax. But Rand Paul is under a lot of pressure and under a lot of fire because Rand Paul is telling the truth. Yet Rand Paul is only telling part of the truth. Well, he's telling all of the truth that he knows. Rand Paul is telling all of the truth that he's aware of. But you and I, as Bible believers, we know that there's much, much more truth to get to. And the things that we see happening here, the things that are happening right in front of our face and have been going on for the last 15 months, turn to Matthew chapter 24. And let's look at the only place in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 24, where it talks about something that could possibly be applied to the church age. Open your King James Bibles to Matthew chapter 24, and I want to read what I feel, in my opinion, is just about the only passage in Matthew 24 that we can actually apply to our day here right now, while we're at the end of the church age and we're waiting for the pre-tribulation rapture of the church to take place. Matthew chapter 24, let's take a look here, starting verses 3 through 8. Matthew chapter 24, verses 3 through 8. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying that I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." And here it is: "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginnings of sorrows." And I believe that here we are at the very tail end, the closing seconds of the church age, and I believe that we're looking at the beginnings of sorrows from Matthew chapter 24. Remember, all dispensations overlap into each other. I haven't found one dispensation in the entire Bible where it's a clear-cut stopping of one dispensation and a clear-cut starting of the other dispensation. If you go all the way back to the book of Genesis and you see that Adam and Eve, God kicked them out of the garden, but before he kicked them out, he made them coats of skin, and things just kind of trail off. And then you get a couple chapters later and things just kind of gently start coming in, and Genesis chapter 5, and you see the one-man rapture of Enoch, and then you see all the explosive action in Genesis chapter 6. But from Genesis 3 to Genesis 5, it's kind of a one dispensation is closing, the other dispensation is opening up. And I believe that here in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus said that this will be a time period of great deception. And after the pre-trib rapture takes place in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Bible says that God is going to usher in a time of something that Paul calls the strong delusion. And what is that strong delusion? The strong delusion is that Antichrist is Jesus Christ. And that's where God's wrath actually begins. That's where the wrath of God actually starts. The wrath of God does not start with the Great Tribulation. Don't let anybody tell you that, because that is not true. God's wrath is absolutely poured out during the time of the Great Tribulation. God's wrath is absolutely visible with the naked eye during the time of the Great Tribulation. There's no question about that. But God's wrath does not start with the Great Tribulation halfway through the 7-year time of Jacob's trouble. God's wrath starts with the strong delusion, and that takes place immediately after the rapture. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." And then look down in verses 8 through 10. Verses 8 through 10 in 2 Thessalonians. "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all powers and signs and lying wonders, and deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Now, look at the very next verses, 2 Thessalonians 2, 11 and 12. This is what God does to a world where they have rejected his Son, they've rejected his salvation plan, they have rejected the Bible doctrine of salvation by grace through faith, through the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. And for this cause, what cause? You got to go back and look at verse 10. Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved, and then the rapture happened. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So do you see where the strong delusion starts, where God's wrath begins? It is not with the tribulation. God's wrath begins with the strong delusion that Antichrist is Jesus Christ, and he allows a 3.5-year time period of false peace and false safety and false prosperity to come upon the world to lure the entire world into deception. This is why Paul calls it the strong delusion. And it lasts for a 3.5-year time period. All of that is God's wrath. God's wrath does not begin with the Great Tribulation. God's wrath begins immediately after the pre-tribulation rapture of the church and the body of Christ is taken out. Paul says that God sends a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And that's exactly what's going to take place.
By the way, been there. Sorry to hear that. It's not fun. I know it's happened to me. It's happened to many other people in the public eye. And it gets scary at times. And I hope you're getting the proper security. And I hope our government is providing it to protect any politician, any elected official. This is not Democrat or Republican. Let me ask you this. Did Dr. Fauci lie before your committee?
Absolutely. He still says no money went for gain-of-function research. One of the papers that he sent in the emails that have come out, he labels the paper as gain-of-function, and that was at the Wuhan Institute. At the end of that paper, the bat scientist, Dr. She thanks Dr. Fauci's organization, the NIAID, which is part of NIH, and she actually lists the serial number for the money she got from the U.S. So he needs to be asked difficult questions. We need to have other scientists there. He hides behind the veil of, oh, I'm the only smart person in the room. No one else can understand this. But many other PhD scientists in this field completely disagree with him and don't think it's worth risking a pandemic. They don't think we should be doing this research. And they haven't seen any benefits of it either.
I think I recall that a gentleman by the name of Roger Stone was charged with lying to Congress, known as a process crime. You usually tell somebody, have your client report at this location at this time, and that's the way it usually was handled. But he had almost 30 guys in tactical gear, frogmen, and fake news CNN cameras, pre-dawn raid, guns drawn, for lying to Congress. Is that a crime?
It absolutely is a crime. It's punishable up to 5 years in prison. The thing is no one's going to, you know, Dr. Fauci's going to work around his words. He's being very careful with his words. It sounded like he was saying no money went to NIH, but he was specifically, no money went to the Wuhan Institute, but he was being more precise in saying no gain of function money went. But I think that's verifiably false also, but it's going to come down to an opinion. He's going to say it wasn't gain of function. Many other scientists are already and have been saying for almost a year now that it all was gain of function. But he's not being truthful. He's not being completely forthcoming. He's shading the meaning of truth.
He's parsing his words.
This is a real problem. Exactly. Yeah. And there's one other example. There's one other example I want to bring up. Right now, India is struggling under this. They have 1 billion people, 300,000 people there are getting it, and they're having about 4,000 deaths. Dr. Fauci refuses to tell people that you get immunity after you've had the disease. This would allow the vaccine in India to be targeted to those who have not been sick. But because Dr. Fauci says everyone's the same and everyone should get the vaccine without thinking about it, there's not enough vaccine to go around in India. So there are profound public health implications of Dr. Fauci denying natural immunity from the disease. In doing so, I think it's leading to a great deal of deaths around the world that could be prevented.
So there you have Rand Paul talking with Sean Hannity. And Rand Paul, if you paid attention to that clip, he says that Dr. Fauci, Anthony Fauci, Fauci the fraud, is lying on just about every level that Fauci could be lying on. He lied about gain-of-function research. He lied about what he actually paid for. He's been lying about everything the entire way. And he's also saying that it's looking like the Biden administration is going to continue to protect him. One thing you have to remember is that Anthony Fauci goes all the way back to 2001 with Bill Gates Sr., George Soros, David Rockefeller. Anthony Fauci has been part of the New World Order for quite some time. And this was a plan that was hatched and conceived to take a COVID virus, perform gain-of-function research on that virus, have it, air quotes, accidentally released in the Wuhan laboratory in China. And this is so that China can blame America and America can blame China, and Fauci can parse his words. And he says, we never financed this, we never did that. And he's lying out of both sides of his face. Chris has a question in the chat room. What does the expression gain of function actually mean? Gain of function, that's a good question. Gain of function, as it applies to the field of biology, it means to take something and to greatly amplify the characteristics, in this case, the COVID virus. And when they performed gain of function research on the COVID virus, that they meant to say that they were drastically increasing the infectious capabilities of the COVID-19 virus. So when we say that they performed gain-of-function research on the coronavirus, what that means is they took the virus in a laboratory and they experimented with ways to make that particular virus many times more deadly. It's intentional. It's not an accident. Gain-of-function doesn't happen by accident. And they take all the knowledge that they have about microbiology, and they hack into this virus, and they make it 5 times more deadly, 10 times more deadly, 20 times more deadly. And that's what Rand Paul is accusing Anthony Fauci of having done. And Anthony Fauci has no good explanation to try and defend himself against what Rand Paul's saying, other than just denying that he did that. But the emails, this is why last week the emails were so explosive, because the emails and about 30% of the emails that came out, they were redacted. That means that even when they released the emails, they took sections that they didn't want you to see and they grayed them out so you couldn't read them. So when those emails came out last week, it caused an absolute panic. Can you imagine if we could have read 100% of the emails that came out, if they were to unredact those sections that they wouldn't allow us to read? And so what they're trying to do right now is they're trying to set up Anthony Fauci as the sacrificial lamb. Because what they're trying to do, and here's the part that you have to really wrap your head around. What they're trying to do is distract you. They're trying to distract you by throwing Anthony Fauci under the bus, by throwing Bill Gates under the bus. They're trying to distract you from the fact that the vaccine was not made for the virus. The virus was hacked and created so that you would be forced to take a vaccine. I want you to think about that. because that's what the truth of this situation is. They are using a virus that is not overly deadly. They performed gain-of-function research on this virus, and then they released it back in November, December of 2019. It spread around the world over the last 15 months, and it killed millions of people. Now, why would they do that to the COVID virus? Why would they perform gain-of-function research in the first place? And then, why would they intentionally release this virus on the entire world? Well, why don't we take a listen to California Governor Gavin Newsom? He had something interesting to say over the weekend. Take a listen to California State Governor Gavin Newsom. Let's just take a listen to what he has to say.
As of this morning, we have recorded over 38.6 million doses of vaccinations have been administered in the state of California. We have joined 11 other states. There's just 12 states in the United States that have vaccinated over 70% of their adult population. As you all know well, President Biden established that goal for July 4th. We were able to achieve that goal 1 month earlier. So 70%+ of Californians, 18 and over, adults have received at least one dose. We are seeing vaccination rates across the spectrum improve, particularly in black and brown communities, though we recognize we still have more work to do in that space. We realize we need to do a little bit more than just our traditional outreach efforts with community-based organizations, our outreach efforts in language, knocking on doors, phone banking, and all of the pop-up sites and walk-in sites, school-based sites, synagogue-based sites, church-based sites, and partnerships. And that's when we decided to move forward with incentives.
So we're going to stop Gavin Newsom right there for a second. He just spent the first 45 seconds of that clip telling you about COVID vaccination rates in the state of California. And he says that his vaccination rates are a little bit on the low side. So what does the rest of this clip show you? The rest of this clip tells you about the incentives that the state of California is giving to induce their people to take the COVID vaccine.
We are where we are, and incentives have long worked, and incentives are indeed what we are advancing here today. Uh-huh. It was, in fact, a week ago, a little over a week ago, on Thursday of last week, that we announced a $116.5 million commitment in our totality of incentives coming from the state specifically. We initiated a program, started last Friday, to encourage people that haven't received one dose shot to get that dose, at least one dose, in order then to make themselves eligible for the announcement today. And
so what is Gavin Newsom saying? He's saying that they have put $116.5 million into a fund in the state of California, and everybody who is willing to step up and receive a COVID vaccine is going to get a lottery ticket in the hopes of winning $116.5 million. Do you see how crooked this is? If the vaccine was really a good thing, would the state of California be trying to bribe people with a $116.5 million lottery and say all you have to do to get your ticket is you have to step up and let us jab you with this unproven, untested, experimental vaccine that's killing thousands of people around the world, that's causing hundreds of thousands of adverse reactions, but if you'll step up and agree to let us shoot this garbage into your body, we're going to give you a free ticket on the 10 million to 1 chance that you're going to be the lucky winner of the $116.5 million California State COVID vaccine lottery. That is what Gavin Newsom is offering the people of California.
The prizes that we'll be announcing next Friday. We encourage people as well to get a vaccine by providing gift cards of a $50 value. We've got over 343,000 people that have received or are about to receive notification that they not only are eligible, but will receive that gift card after their second dose, or more appropriately after that one dose, if indeed they choose the J&J vaccine. All right, so we got the first five numbers. And again, these are unique numeric identifiers that connect to a name, so they're real winners here. $50,000. Each one of these balls represents $50,000 check that individuals receive when they get their second shot. We will start with number 18.
18.
There you are. And we'll find out where number 18 is. 18. Mendocino County. We got number 25. Where's number 25 from? Here you go.
Oh,
Los Angeles. Number 43. Where are we? Where's 43? Aha, Santa Clara. Number 3. Where's number 3? Oh, Alameda. Look at that, Alameda. You know where Alameda is. And the last one this week, $50,000 ball going to whoever of the 21.5 million Californians that just randomly has the number 40. 40. And that person resides in?
Santa Clara.
Unbelievable. Santa Clara. Look at that. Do this again. Another 15 people.
So there you have Governor Newsom in the formerly great state of California. And they're trying to incentivize, that's their word, they're trying to incentivize their people to take the COVID vaccine by giving away millions and millions and millions of dollars. It's funny, while you were listening to that clip, Denise in the chat room, just a few minutes ago, this just came across my desk, Denise in the chat room says, I am literally sitting at work, listening to the podcast, and my employer just sent me an email and wants to offer $50 as an incentive for taking the vaccine. And those who won't have a date by which to take the vaccine will no longer be employed. Denise says, please pray for my strength to walk away from employment and to trust God. Now, this is exactly what I'm talking about. As you were listening to that clip from Gavin Newsom talking about the $116.5 million slush fund that California has to bribe people into taking the vaccine, Denise, right in our chat room, says that she's listening to this podcast. And at the same time that she's listening to me talk about these things, she's listening to the clip of Gavin Newsom. Her employer sends her an email and says, you need to take the vaccine. We'll give you $50. And if you don't take it, we're going to let you go. Now, this is where the battlefield is. And we're absolutely going to pray for Denise. In fact, let's just take a moment right now and pray for everybody who is dealing with this. Heavenly Father, we lift up the entire NTEB church family across America and around the world, and anybody who's listening to this broadcast, who's experiencing pressure, and they're being threatened with being fired and being threatened with having their paycheck taken away. They're being threatened with all sorts of financial deprivation. We pray, Lord, that you would give each one of us the wisdom to know what to do. And Father God, it is my prayer that as a church body, we would just fall on our face before you and ask you to lead us and guide us through these treacherous times. And Lord, I don't know what to tell people in a case like that. I really don't. And I understand that there is so much at stake. And I don't feel good about telling somebody to do something that's going to get them fired. But I also don't feel good about telling people to not do something if it's something that they should be doing. So, Lord, I just pray that you give Denise wisdom. You give all of us wisdom to know what to do. And, Lord, I believe that you have your will for each one of us. And I just pray that each one of us would seek that will from ourselves to you and understand what you would have each of us to do as individuals and each of us to do as part of the body of Christ and part of the remnant church around the world. And we ask these things, Father God, in Jesus' name, amen. Denise, thank you very, very much for sharing that message. But this is what we were talking about last night, for those of you who listened to the Bible study last night, about the price that had to be paid by the Christian reformers who eventually created the King James Bible. Thousands and thousands of people died in the fires of Roman persecution in order to bring us the Bible in English. That was not an easy task, and it took place over hundreds of years. There is a price to pay. And we are living in a time where we just might have to pay a little bit of that price. We're not getting at, and I've told you this from the very beginning. Yes, the pre-tribulation rapture removes us before the start of the time of Jacob's trouble. But we don't get out of here without some bumps and bruises. We don't get to avoid the entire fight. That fight is already here. That fight was here last year. And we are going to get some scars. We are going to get some bumps and bruises. Have you ever watched those war movies where they're sending the helicopter into the jungle to get the soldiers out, and the helicopter is hovering over the trees and they're putting the rope down, and the soldiers at the ground level, they're reaching up and they're grabbing the rope, and the rope is lifting them up into the sky. But while it's happening, some of those soldiers are getting shot. Some of them are getting cut. Some of them have bumps and bruises. Some of them have their shoes set on fire. Yes, they're being removed. Yes, they're being rescued. But there is a price to pay. We don't experience the Great Tribulation. We don't experience the time of Jacob's trouble. But that does not mean that we get out of here scot-free, because we absolutely 100% do not. And the Apostle Paul says, 2 Timothy 3:1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away." So Paul says that in the last days there's going to be perilous times. Paul did not live in the time of Jacob's trouble. Paul did not live in the time of the Great Tribulation. Paul was executed for his faith. So was Matthew, Mark, Luke, Peter, James. All of them, except the Apostle John, were executed for their faith. So we have to understand that there is going to be a price to pay. Now, I'm not taking the vaccine, and I have no problem saying that, but that is a decision that you have got to get on your face before God, especially like in Denise's case, where she's being threatened with being fired if she doesn't take the vaccine. You have to go before God, and you have to say, "Lord, what is your will for me to do?" You need to pray that through. And then after you do that, you have to have the courage to act on what God tells you. I'm not God. I'm not a prophet. I'm not an apostle. I don't make claims like Perry Stone and Paula White and Joel Osteen and Kenneth Copeland. I don't have prophetical knowledge of the future. I'm not a psychic. I don't know what God's will is for you in your life. All I know is what God's will is for me in my life, because I open up my King James Bible, I read it, I believe it, I pray about it, and I say, God, show me what your will is for me. But let me tell you something. I've told you guys the story that two times in the last 8 years, two times I was fired because of the ministry of Now the End Begins. And both those times that I was let go from my employment, I lost six-figure jobs. Both of those jobs paid me in excess of $100,000 per year. And because of my witness and my ministry with Now the End Begins, I was fired from both of those jobs. And after I got fired from the second job, a few months later, I ran out of money and I was homeless for the entire summer. So when I talk about that there is a price to pay, I am familiar with the cost of that price. And it is not something that I wish on anybody else. It is not something, if you're not sold out to God, I wouldn't advise you to make bold statements like that. Because when you step out in faith for the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to honor your faith and he's going to let you be bold. But being bold comes at a price. Being bold comes at a cost. And you have to decide, are you ready to pay that price? You know, the Apostle Paul said this. He said that to him, to the Apostle Paul, it seemed that God had set the apostles last. Now, when we think about Matthew, Mark, and we think about John and Peter and Paul, we think about these men as being very, very great men of God. And these men absolutely were great men of God. Paul was the greatest Christian in the last 2,000 years. But this is what Paul said about what he and the other apostles had been called to. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 9. For I think that God hath set forth us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it, being defamed, we entreat, we are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. And Paul concludes that thought with, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. And so the Apostle Paul said that he and the other apostles, it seemed to them like God appointed them last. And he put them at the back of the line, and God used them in such a great and mighty way, but it came at a cost. It came at a really big cost. So I advise you, my advice to Denise, my advice to anybody about this topic, count the cost. Count the cost to see if it's something that you can pay. Luke chapter 14, Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 28 says, "For which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily, after he laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsake not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." So this is what you have to think about. You have to think about if you have an employer who is forcing you to take the vaccine, and they tell you that if you don't take the vaccine, they're going to fire you, you need to take that to the Lord, and you need to have him tell you what to do. That's my advice. All right, let's get on with today's program. We listened to that clip from Governor Gavin Newsom in California. They have set aside $116.5 million, and they are going to use that money to bribe the people in California to agree to take the mRNA COVID-19 vaccine. And multiple states, they're doing this in Ohio, they're doing it in Georgia, they're doing this in multiple states across the country. They are spending millions and millions of dollars to entice you into taking the vaccine. And what we're talking about on today's program, the vaccine was not made for the virus was made for the vaccine. Do you remember back in June of 2020? This is what Anthony Fauci said in June of 2020.
Right now in the United States, people should not be walking around with masks.
You're sure of it? Because people are listening really closely to this.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask. When you're in the middle of an outbreak, wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and it might even block a droplet, but it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is. And often there are unintended consequences. People keep fiddling with the mask and they keep touching their face.
And can you get some schmutz sort of staying inside there?
Of course, of course. But when you think masks, you should think of healthcare providers needing them and people who are ill.
So that was Anthony Fauci on 60 Minutes back in June of 2020. And then about 4 or 5 months later, he changed his position and said, not only do you have to wear one mask, it is highly likely that you need to wear two and in some cases three masks. So Anthony Fauci has been a duplicitous, double-dealing, slick-talking, snake-oil salesman liar from the very beginning. Do you remember what liberal lawyer Alan Dershowitz said last year? He says, you have no right to not be vaccinated. Remember this clip? Alan Dershowitz saying, you have no right not to be vaccinated. Take a listen.
Let me put it very clearly. You have no constitutional right to endanger the public and spread a disease, even if you disagree. You have no right not to be vaccinated. You have no right not to wear a mask. You have no right to open up your business.
Wait, can I stop you? No right not to be vaccinated? Meaning if they decide you have to be vaccinated, we have to be vaccinated?
Absolutely. And if you refuse to be vaccinated, the state has the power to literally take you to a doctor's office and plunge a needle into your arm. If the vaccination,
where is that in the Constitution?
To prevent, if the vaccination is designed to prevent the spreading disease. If the vaccination is only to prevent a disease that you will get, for example, if there's a disease that will kill you, you have the right to refuse that, but you have no right to refuse to be vaccinated against a contagious disease. Public health, the police power of the Constitution, gives the state the power to compel that, and there are cases in the United States Supreme Court.
So there you have liberal lawyer Alan Dershowitz telling you that you have no constitutional right to not be vaccinated, and that the state, if they choose to do so, is legally within their rights to force you to be strapped down to a table and to have the government swoop in and grab a hypodermic needle, jab it into your body, and inject you with the mRNA vaccine. Now, if you think that all of this is about COVID-19, if you think that all of this is about gain-of-function research, let me remind you that COVID-19 is just the opening shot. Bill Gates said back in January of this year, he is already predictively, programmingly telling you what's coming next. Take a listen to Bill Gates talking about the next pandemic after COVID-19.
And welcome to our exclusive interview with Bill Gates, the entrepreneur, Microsoft co-founder, software developer, and philanthropist. Thanks for being here.
Great to talk to you.
The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation's annual letter is now just come out. You both write about how this pandemic, in your view, will be as defining as World War II. What are the key steps to take right now?
Well, we have to do two things at once. We have to bring this epidemic to an end, primarily by getting the vaccine out in large numbers to the entire world. And we have to make sure that we're ready because there will be another pandemic. And there's so many lessons about how we weren't prepared, how we should have handled things differently. And, you know, when that's clearly in our mind, those investments need to be made.
So there you have Bill Gates back in January of 2021, and he's comparing COVID-19 to World War II. I always find it very interesting how many of these hardcore far-left liberals who promote the vaccine and promote the virus and do all this nasty stuff, they always like to compare the outbreak of COVID-19 to a war. But that's exactly what it is. And we started the beginning of this program by playing that clip from Ron Paul, where Ron Paul is laying out categorically that Anthony Fauci performed gain-of-function research. He financed it. He paid for it. And then that virus was released intentionally from a lab in Wuhan, China. Bill Gates says this is like being in a war. And that's a very interesting, ironic statement that he makes, because he is one of the people who is behind that war. He is one of the people who is promoting that war. Now, he says, well, what we have to do is we have to give a vaccine to everybody on the face of the earth. But guess what? That has always been Bill Gates' position. Bill Gates has been saying for decades now that it was his desire to vaccinate the entire world. That's what Bill Gates has always wanted to do. We did an article back in February, eugenicist Bill Gates calling for a global alert system and pandemic fire squad to deal with the next viral outbreak that he promises us is coming. And that's what you're hearing him talk about with this clip. Bill Gates says we need a global system to take care of this. To take care of what? To take care of these viruses that they are performing gain-of-function research on and then intentionally releasing these viruses on the human population. Bill Gates, this has always been his plan. Back in 2010, Bill Gates had something called the Global Vaccine Action something or other. Let me see if I can find that story. Back in 2010, Bill Gates had his Global Vaccine Action Alliance, and who was one of the main people that Bill Gates put on the board, the leadership board of his Global Vaccine Action Alliance. Well, you know who we put on that board. Bill Gates put Anthony Fauci on the board of his Global Vaccine Action Plan. Why does the whole world have to be vaccinated? That doesn't make any sense to me at all. Unless you're trying to give the entire world a very specific type of vaccine. And we know that that's the case. We know that that's true. Because what they want to give us is they want to give us the mRNA vaccine that Moderna says is software for an operating system. That's what they call it. The people who make these vaccines, they have no problem saying that it is software for an operating system.
You mentioned being ready for the next time, and you warned about this last time. Let's take a brief look at a 2015 warning you issued.
If anything kills over 10 million people in the next few decades, it's most likely to be a highly infectious virus. If we start now, we can be ready for the next epidemic.
How ready was the world for this, say on a scale of 1 to 10, and how about the U.S.?
So here you have Bill Gates back in 2015, and he was telling us, he was predictively programming and telling us that this is what is coming down the pike. You don't have to worry about nuclear bombs. You don't have to worry about anything else. You don't have to worry about guns and ammunition and swords and horses. You don't have to worry about the battlefield, because the new battlefield is going to be a biological battlefield. And that's what Bill Gates promised back in 2015 was coming. He said it's going to be a biological battlefield. And isn't it amazing, absolutely incredible, that 4 years after Bill Gates said that the next battlefield is going to be a biological, germ-filled battlefield, that that's exactly what was released upon the whole world in the end of 2019 going into 2020. Wow, that's a really, really good guess on Bill Gates' part. But it wasn't a guess. This is something that they have been planning for a long, long, long time. We told you, and this was a story that when it first hit, it caused a shockwave among people. Microsoft not only funds ID 2020, but they also filed a patent for a device connected to the human body for buying and selling cryptocurrency. So at the same time that Bill Gates is getting ready with Event 201, at the exact same time that Bill Gates is preparing for a global viral outbreak, his company, Microsoft, is filing a patent on a device that would allow people who have this thing implanted inside their body. It's a device for buying and selling cryptocurrency. Now, isn't that an amazing coincidence? At the same time that Bill Gates is conducting Event 201, and he's handing out coronavirus stuffed animals, and he's talking about a global pandemic, at the exact same time, Microsoft is filing patent number 20200606606. I kid you not. They filed patent number 060606 on a device that allows you to buy and sell cryptocurrency after this device is injected inside your body. Now, people, I can't make this stuff up. Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins, when they wrote the entire 13-part Left Behind series about the pre-tribulation rapture going into the Great Tribulation, even they couldn't make that stuff up to the level that we are seeing it happen right here and right now. We told you back on March 16th of 2020 that Bill Gates conducted an event called Event 201. And at the same time, Microsoft is filing patent number 060606 for a Mark of the Beast style device that gets implanted inside your body so that you can buy and sell cryptocurrency. Now, on top of all that, if all that wasn't enough to show you how deep this rabbit hole goes, Microsoft and Bill Gates also created something called the ID 2020 Alliance. And the ID 2020 Alliance is a partnership between a biometric technical company created by Microsoft and Bill Gates that is working with Big Pharma under the banner of the United Nations, and their stated goal is to give every single human being on the face of the earth an implantable digital microchip identification. This is called the ID 2020 Alliance. And this was also created by Microsoft. It was also funded. Tens of millions of dollars was given it by Bill Gates. And all these things are happening at exactly the same time. Now, does that seem to you like a coincidence? Or does that seem to you like on one side of the fence, you have Anthony Fauci using his power and his authority at the CDC to perform gain-of-function research on a coronavirus and then have it accidentally released into the human population, while at the same time on the other side of the fence, Bill Gates and Microsoft and their unlimited money is creating the human implantable microchip capable biometric device to buy and sell cryptocurrency that was given the patent number of 02020606066. And at the same time, they are creating something called the ID 2020 Alliance that is connected to Big Pharma. It is connected to vaccines, and it is connected to the United Nations. Now, this is what Rand Paul doesn't understand the entire picture of. And if he does, he's not talking about it. I agree with everything that Rand Paul has said about Anthony Fauci. But as you're starting to see, remember, I promised you at the start of this show, I told you that Anthony Fauci, as evil as he is only the pimple on the outside of the surface. And when you squeeze that pimple, all of this pus and all of this infected material comes oozing out from the place where you pop the pimple. And when we pop that pimple, we see Event 201. We see the ID 2020 Alliance. We see implantable biometric devices connected to a vaccine. We see all these things happening, and they're happening at the same time with each other. Do you see what I'm talking about? Do you see how deep this rabbit hole goes? Now that you know all of that, do you see why that COVID-19 is only the opening shot? COVID-19 is not the begin or the end of anything. COVID-19 is just one more link in the chain of events that is going to bring us smack dab into the Mark of the Beast world system. Now, the Mark of the Beast is not going to be here until after we leave, and the Mark of the Beast is not going to be present in the church age. We will be removed before the actual mark of the beast shows up under Antichrist. But what we are seeing right now is we are seeing the stunning creation of what I call the mark of the beast world system. And this is what the lost world is doing to prepare themselves for the arrival of Antichrist. Now, you and I who are saved, we are preparing ourselves for the arrival of Jesus Christ. If you're a born-again Christian, we are told that we are to be looking for, in Titus 2:13, the Bible says that we are to be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That is who we are looking for. That is who we are waiting for. But the lost world that we live in, who rejects Jesus Christ, they reject God's word, they reject the Holy Bible, they reject Bible prophecy. What are they waiting for? They are waiting for Antichrist. Now, they may not know that they're waiting for Antichrist, and if you were to ask them that question, they may agree or disagree. I'm sure some of them would agree with you. But whether they are aware of it or not, they are absolutely waiting for Antichrist. Now, last year, over a year ago, 13 months ago, we told you that Bill Gates was working on something called the Human Implantable Quantum Dot Microneedle Vaccine Delivery System. And it operates on a enzyme called luciferase, named after Lucifer. And when this is injected into your body, this luciferase connected to an app on a mobile device allows scientists and doctors and researchers to see a glowing purplish red X where you have been injected. And it's somebody who listened to this when we talked about this last year. And on one of the podcasts, somebody was listening and they were bored at work one day. And they decided to take the words implantable quantum dot microneedle vaccination delivery system and just tally up what the numerical value, simply if A is 1 and B is 2 and C is 3 and D is 4, right, and Z is 26, this listener decided to print out the words implantable quantum dot microneedle vaccination system and add up the numerical value of that phrase. And would you like to guess the numerical value of, and this was just a phrase that I think I coined, this phrase, implantable quantum dot microneedle vaccination delivery system. I think that was a expression that I put together for a podcast. But just coincidentally, that expression, implantable quantum dot microneedle vaccination delivery system, when you add up the value of those letters, it turns out to be 666. What an amazing coincidence that is. And we told you about that 13 months ago. So this is where we are. Anthony Fauci is being sacrificed as the sacrificial lamb. Bill Gates has been thrown under the bus last month, and we haven't heard anything from Bill Gates. Anthony Fauci is doing his best, but he's on his way down. He's on his way out. And the New World Order, when they're done with you, they discard you because you are no longer needed after you have accomplished the task that you were put in position to accomplish. And this is why all these followers of Satan, they become very rich and they become very powerful and they become very wealthy because Satan is rewarding them for the work that they're doing down here. Remember this clip? Last year, there was a movie called Songbird. Remember the predictive programming that was contained in this trailer for the movie Songbird? Take a listen.
Good morning, Miss Garcia.
Good morning, sunshine. I miss you. I could kiss you right now.
Yeah, well, someday.
Curfew is now in effect. All unauthorized citizens must stay indoors.
Tensions rise as we enter the 213th week of lockdown.
A grim new reality emerges.
COVID-23 has mutated.
Beginning thermal scan. Thermal scan normal.
A horrifying new development
new
today.
New data confirms the virus attacks the brain tissue.
Whoa! I'm immune!
Worldwide death toll rises to over 110 million.
All infected Americans are being forced into quarantine camps.
Sarah,
what's going on?
Department of Sanitation.
Sarah, talk to me.
I think my neighbor has a fever.
It'll be so much easier if you just open the door. Mrs. Grant, you have visitors.
Sarah, do not open that door.
No! Please! I'm messy!
Beginning thermal scan. 3, 2, 1. Anomaly detected. Armed guards will be arriving in 4 to 6 hours. You must not attempt to leave your home, or you will be shot on sight.
This is my message to you.
I know you're in there.
They're coming. I have to let you go.
No.
Sarah!
Say goodbye to me.
Sarah, I'm not letting you give up.
This is my message to you.
Sometimes we have to do things we don't want to survive.
I'm trying to save the one person left in my life that matters to me.
I can't help you. What you're talking about is illegal.
Nico.
I'm here.
Every little thing gonna be all right.
And remember, stay safe, sane, and sanitized.
So there you have the movie trailer from that film called Songbird, which talks about a global lockdown and global vaccines and all the things that we saw played out so incredibly before that movie was made and after that movie was made. Now, I want you to listen to this clip from an interview with Anthony Fauci from yesterday. This clip is Anthony Fauci, and the title of this clip is The Truth Is, It's Almost Over. Take a listen to Anthony Fauci yesterday on a show called Face to Face.
If anyone who's involved in science to say you should never change your mind doesn't understand what science is.
Well, Dr. Fauci, thank you so much for joining us on the YouTube channel again. It's been a year since you and I have spoken. We're doing it now in person without masks on,
right?
Thanks to the vaccine. How amazing is that?
Indeed. It's really one of the most important contributions in biomedical research.
So there you have in the opening 10 seconds of that clip from a program, an interview that Fauci did yesterday, and you have the excited interviewer, and he's saying, look, Dr. Fauci, look how amazing it is that we can sit right across from each other. We can sit face to face, and we don't have to wear a mask. It's like a miracle. We don't have to wear a mask because we've received the vaccine that you created to protect us from the virus that you performed gain-of-function research on to infect us with so that we would be forced to take the vaccine. That is the truth.
To so quickly and effectively get a vaccine that right now is performing in the real world even better than it did in the clinical trials.
So you feel more confident in the vaccine now than perhaps you did in December 2020?
Oh, yeah. And the reason is that in December 2020, we had the results of the clinical trials, which were very impressive, you know, 94%, 95%. But often is the case is that when you get into the real world of how the vaccine performs outside of the pristine conditions of the clinical trials, it doesn't usually look as good as it looks in the clinical trials. On the contrary, we're seeing the opposite now. We're seeing that when you get data, not only from the United States, I mean, when I say data, I'm talking about hundreds of thousands of people being followed up in prospective cohort studies, the data are at least as good, if not even better, not only against what we call the wild type virus, namely the one that's the standard one, but when...
All right, I'll stop him right there because his voice is so aggravating to me. I really can't listen to him for more than 30 seconds at a time. But did you hear the arrogance in his voice and how pompous that he is in talking about all these facts and figures and research and all these things that we're doing with the vaccine when it was his work in the first place that created this virus that they performed gain of function research on, that the CDC holds a patent on. And now here this is what the Nazis used to do. They would sit calmly and they would be dressed in nice clothing and they would sit in group meetings and they would talk about all these high and lofty topics. But the reality is that they were operating a death factory that was killing tens of thousands of people across Europe on a daily basis. Have you ever seen those photographs of the Nazis having a picnic and they're having strawberries and blueberries and they're drinking wine and they're throwing a beach ball back and forth to each other and they're smiling and they're happy and it looks like the nicest gathering you could ever possibly imagine. And it was filmed on the grounds of a concentration camp while just 100 feet away in barracks and chambers, people were being tortured and starved and executed and put into ovens and gas chambers. And they're posing for pictures, eating strawberries, drinking wine, and having a picnic. Well, that's exactly when I listen to that clip with Fauci, that's exactly what I think of. And when you just allow your mind to understand that the vaccine was not created for the virus, the virus was created for the vaccine. And Bill Gates has already told you, be prepared for round number 2 and round number 3, because those things are coming. And this is what, when I tell you guys that you've got to be prayed up, when I tell you guys that you've got to know what you know, we are living in unprecedented times. But if you have a King James Bible, and if you read and believe your King James Bible, then God has not left you in the dark. The things that are happening right now, this is the time period that Bible prophecy has been pointing to for 2,000 years. That's what we're seeing. These are the things that are beginning to come to pass right now. Jesus said in Matthew 24:6, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginnings of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." Now, this is talking about a time that is largely going to be fulfilled during the time of Jacob's trouble and the Great Tribulation. But we are experiencing a touch of that right now. Are you seeing what happens if you dare to speak out against the system? They ban you on Twitter. They ban you on Facebook. They ban you on YouTube. If you refuse to take the vaccine that has a 99%+ recovery rate, if you refuse to take this experimental vaccine, as Denise said, either take the vaccine or we're going to fire you. This battle is not over. It's starting to feel like things are easing up a little bit, because the world is starting to go back to work, and restrictions are starting to be lifted, and masks are starting to come off of people's faces. But if you think that you can just breathe a sigh of relief and think that all this is over, this is barely getting started. And if you think that things are coming to a conclusion, you are greatly, greatly, greatly deceived. They are not going to quit until the vast majority of everybody around the entire world, not just here in America, but they are not going to quit until the vast overwhelming majority of the human population has received the COVID-19 vaccine. They're not going to let up. They're not going to quit. Now, right now, They're using peer pressure. Right now, they're using pressure from corporate America. They're using pressure from your employer. And in places like California, they're using incentives like, we'll give you $50,000. We'll give you $10,000. We'll put $116.5 million into a bank account, and we'll have a lottery. And if you take a vaccine, then we'll give you a free ticket for the lottery. But at some point, it's going to turn nasty. At some point, they're going to come with soldiers and guns and hypodermic needles, and you're either going to take the vaccine and not be fired if you refuse. If you refuse, they're going to remove you from society. That is absolutely coming. There is no question about it. We have been right about everything all the way up to this point. And I believe with all my heart that that is going to happen as well. And on some levels, we are starting to see that already. So, what can you and I do as Bible-believing Christians in the meantime? What can you and I do as we see all of this incredible 2,000-year-old Bible prophecy coming to pass before our very eyes? What can you and I do? We can go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be full. You can get involved with the free Bible and Gospel Tract program. If you donate to that program, we send free King James Bibles out around the world. Every single month, we send out between 500 and 600 free, completely free, King James Bibles to people across America and around the world, missionaries in foreign countries. You can donate to the Billboard program. This week, we are putting up billboard number 4 here in St. Augustine, Florida. Billboard number 4. So, what can you do while we're watching these things come to pass? You can be very, very active. for the kingdom of God. And you can get something done while we wait to be removed in the pre-tribulation rapture. And if I were you, I would advise you to be as busy as you possibly can. I am working here for Now the End Begins 7 days a week. And why am I doing that? Because I want to have something that will make it through the judgment seat of Christ. I want to have something that is going to make it through the fires of the judgment seat of Christ. So I am spending all my time, all my efforts, all my money on trying to get something done for the Lord Jesus Christ while there is still time left to do it. That is what we should be doing. Jesus says, occupy till I come. Are you occupying? Are you getting something done for him? You absolutely can be. We need your support for the billboard program. We need your financial support for the free Bible and gospel track program. And when you donate to these things, these are things that we're getting done as a church family in the closing days of the church age as we witness to a lost and dying world about salvation in Jesus Christ. And we talked about some things today that were very, very hard to talk about. We talked about some things that are ugly things to talk about. But the good news is, you and I have been called to a battlefield. You and I have been called. Paul says this in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing. So I invite you to labor with me on the front lines of the end times. I invite you to become part of the billboard program. We need your support. I invite you to become part of the free King James Bible and Gospel Track program. We need your support. And together, we are accomplishing what Jesus Christ has left here for us to do. And together, we're making a difference. We're seeing people get saved. We're seeing saved people get on fire for God. And this is what Christians are called to do. The war is real, the battle hot, and the time is short. We need to press into the fight. Thank you so much for tuning in today to this Prophecy Podcast program. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another edition of our Rightly Dividing King James Bible Study. Have a great week, everybody.
For crimes he had done, the thief was guilty, everyone could see. But his destiny was changed as he looked at Christ and said, when your kingdom comes, remember me. Said, friend, how did you come? What are the deeds you have done? With tears in his eyes, I can hear him reply, there are no merits to my name, no works that I can claim. He who brought me here told me to live.
let my guilt and my shame. Hopelessly lost, I could not find my way. Until this glorious light of love shone down on me. His mercy washed all my sin away.
And what he did for me that day was a price I know he paid.
By his grace, I too can say.